welcome to
Who Needs Friends.
I'm Zach.
I'm Wade.
And this is the podcast where the Stay Cool Forever guys tackle friends.
Yeah, we know you wanted more, so we're going to unpack over 200 episodes of a very popular 90s and early 2000s sitcom that you might be familiar with.
It is over 200, huh? Like,
yeah.
Is it 26 a season for 10 years?
Oh, God, yeah. I forget how many episodes old.
Star Trek's 26 an episode.
Yeah, shows used to have more episodes per season.
Mm-hmm. Less serialized. Although this one does seem to be pretty serialized, despite different things happen.
Yeah,
each episode
there's gonna be a little continuity, I think, with like the Ross, his ex and the kid, and Rachel's dating life and everyone's careers.
That's right. Yeah, the careers is probably the through line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't think maybe I'll be proven wrong. I don't think there's any two-parters in this show.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that. There might be some two-parters.
It's possible. I don't know.
I feel like no. But maybe.
Yeah.
But maybe.
Seems out of place for a sitcom like this.
Okay, so this is the episode.
This is the one with the sonogram at the end.
There you go.
Episode 1-2. Season 1, episode 2. You know.
You know. And so Ross decides that he wants to be a part of his ex-wife and her female lover's life with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Monica, so many names I'm trying to really nail.
Yeah,
Monica,
yeah.
And Ross's parents come to town.
Yep.
And it's awkward.
They're harder on her than they are on him.
Yeah. You know, and then, what's the other through line? Oh, Rachel's got to give her ring back to her ex-husband now.
Correct.
And
the rest of the gang seems to... I have a theory that we're not going to really get to know Joey and Chandler and Phoebe in any relevant, you know, intimately for a few episodes, because they're very much ancillary characters at this point, just you know, chiming in with the jokes.
Correct. And that's why we have the marriage is stuff leading in the front. I think you know, not to always bring it back to Star Trek, but Star Trek each iteration doesn't really hit its stride until the third season.
I think that's true of a lot of sitcoms. Third seasons tend to be the best.
Okay, so you think that's going to be the way with this one?
Sure,
probably.
Maybe,
huh?
The same as in any, I know, like, yeah, with the shows that I enjoy, like The Simpsons or The Office, those, you know, right, or even like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you know,
yeah,
you get those,
yeah,
that point right around season three where they really, they know the
they
characters
know
and
on.
It just writes itself.
Yep. This was, I mean, an enjoyable episode, I guess.
Yeah, it was a fine elaboration on the characters we got to know.
Yeah.
First observation, the theme song, now that it's no longer the pilot episode, is splicing in footage from presumably scenes
later,
that we'll see later in this season. So there's that.
Which is nice, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of high fives.
Yeah. On the topic of music cues, between last episode and this one, did you notice that Ross and Rachel are getting musical cues to sort of continue foreshadowing at their love story?
No, I didn't.
Because in the first episode, there was that moment, and then just music came out of nowhere, and then it cut to, like, Rachel sitting on the couch by the window.
Mm-hmm.
And kind
of, well,
like,
yeah. I mean, I know they had the vocal music cue.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah, but, like, paralleled the two of them. And similarly, when the coffee shop is closing and Ross gets his hand stuck under Rachel's head,
yeah,
there's
a music cue then?
Yeah. So they're really hinting at this from
thick.
The get-go. I compared it with you to the Jim and Pam romance in The Office, that if you establish it early on, people will want it and pine for it, and you can string them along for several seasons before actually ruining the momentum by having them officially be together.
Yeah.
And then all bets are off.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That definitely makes sense.
So how are we feeling about the whole Ross's ex being a lesbian treatment? Like, are they playing soft enough with it that we're not too offended by it today?
I'm not too offended by it.
I keep looking for it and saying, well, what does a lesbian look like? A human, a normal person. So it's not like I should have expectations of how these women should appear or act.
Yeah.
But naturally, you have Ross playing that sitcom man who's like, I just don't know anything.
Oh, lesbian?
All these props at the OBGYN make me uncomfortable.
I'm a regular man, which speaks to Ross as a character, but it seems like a convenient plot device of the early 90s.
Sure.
You know, where it's like he gets, you know, his heart broken because his wife, I don't want to say decides, his wife realizes that she's a lesbian. I'm curious how delicately they deal with that going through the seasons, as I think you're alluding to.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like it's over the top and annoying yet.
Yeah, definitely. If anything, they're kind of treating it with kid gloves, just keeping it really, you know, accessible, middle of the road.
This is what's
like
happening.
Two very
things.
Unoffensive white ladies.
Yeah.
Just kind of, you know.
I thought the Susan was cute.
Mm-hmm.
More so than...
Yeah.
Do you know her name?
No. But yeah. I can see why she left Ross for...
For Susan? Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
I might have chimed in on this on the first episode, but Ross's fucking clothes.
The clothes are horrible.
What is... It's all...
I think you did bring that up.
It's all giant. It reminds me of, like, I used to do, you know, like, theater in middle school and high school, and you'd go to the prop closet, and you'd find a... Like, okay, this character wears a blazer, but all the shit was ill-fitting, like, straight out of a thrift store. And, like, all of Ross's outfits thus far seem like just bad prop clothes that they had on hand. Like, here, wear this. But none of it looks good on him or fits.
I was literally going to say, he looks like he shops at the thrift store but doesn't know his own style.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I grew up a thrift store kid. You know, you go in, you kind of, you try it on, you know what looks good, you beep the fuck out. This guy's like, I mean, these are good pants. So, I mean, I got to take these. You know, that's kind of how I feel about it. And I think that's kind of maybe indicative of Ross, who is... Oh, well, I mean, it's a Hugo Boss shirt. You know, who cares if it doesn't fit, right?
Yeah. Like, he doesn't know himself.
Correct.
Or he is not confident enough to... Yeah.
And I think, as you were alluding to before, I think the whole story here is Rachel and Ross.
Yes.
And so I think... That's why we're getting so much treatment. And it maybe, and if I remember right, later on in the series, that you find out that Ross kind of takes a transition clothing-wise, where he gets more well-to-do, more suits and things like that. I think he gets a more high-powered job.
I know he gets tenure at some point. So.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, so maybe that alludes to he looks like a schmuck now, but he's not going to be a schmuck later, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He gets to be, like, an attractive professor, adult guy, and
yeah.
The times, I'm assuming, are going to catch up with it as well. Like,
yes. Yeah. I particularly enjoyed the Star Trek reference at the very end.
Yeah.
Being your resident Trekkie.
I enjoyed the Three's Company reference near the beginning.
Yep.
Like, oh, this is the one where there's some kind of misunderstanding.
And I think that's maybe one of the most captivating portions of Friends here is that Friends is in and of itself a pop culture reference that everyone references, but it references other pop culture references.
Yes.
So it's just an amalgamation of, like, what's going on in the world.
Wow.
And what we all know. You know, and the way that The Simpsons are.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's a really great point, though. I want to try and shoehorn this into a general 90s observation.
Okay.
That was sort of becoming a thing, is like the deconstruction element of tropes, genres, where people became aware of this exists in pop culture, but then your characters are also going through the same thing. Like the Scream movies is a great example.
Because
whole, it's a horror movie, and the whole time they're talking about horror movies and the rules and the tropes.
Yeah, also Monica. Isn't it right?
Correct. Yeah. Courtney Cox.
Just want to bring that right back out there. Wade likes that.
Except her hair is terrible in all those movies.
I feel like I'm going to need to watch the Scream movies. We need to do a horror genre.
We should definitely do at least one Scream movie in there.
Yeah,
we can get that fear and others.
Okay.
What was the one? Predator 2 is not really a horror movie, but that's a good LA movie. All right. I digress. I want to continue damning the men on this show for what they were forced to wear.
Okay,
this is the second episode in a row where Chandler's wearing a fucking bowling shirt. A giant bowling shirt.
Yeah.
Tucked in.
Yep.
Fuck you.
Yep.
Period.
I've been bowling recently. Actually, I bought a vintage bag at an estate sale over the weekend.
Like a ball bag?
Yeah.
Nice.
I bought one for Brittany, too. I got into a little bit of a tiff with the estate sale people. Because they had the bowling ball in the bowling bag. And you know, there was a little paper sign underneath the table right above the bowling ball and the bowling bag, and it said bowling balls $39, bowling bags $29. And so I went up and I said, hey, is everything half off? It seems you guys are saying a lot of things are half off. Is the bowling bag half off? And she goes, well, you got to buy the bowling ball with the bowling bag. And I said, well, I don't want to be that guy. But the sign has an implication that they're sold separately.
Yes, they have two different prices.
I mean, you know, it's not a single price.
Here. Or you put one price, exactly. Ball and bag.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that was a little bit of a moment for me. But I thought, well, why would you price the bowling bag separately from the bowling ball?
Yeah.
That's what I told her. And we ended up getting a $10 discount on both if we bought both together. So I bought both bowling bags. Okay. But
excellent point. You were right.
Yeah.
What you did was correct.
You're goddamn right. Thanks. Don't know how what the lead in there was, but it was triggered in my mind, wanted to let the world know.
Bowling shirts. Chandler bowling with shirts. His fucking bowling go. Shirts. And Joey yeah. had some awful like V-neck from Ross tucked in as well.
The tucked in is hot, and the tucked in is returning if you look in hip-hop culture. A$AP Rocky tucks in his shirts a lot. Schoolboy Q tucks in his shirts a lot. There's a lot of shirt tucking in. The 90s are 100% more back than you ever thought they were back.
Yeah, but...
but the bowling at bowling doesn't happen.
I think the thing with the 90s is it wasn't ironic that the clothes...
they were just bad?
They just didn't fit, and they were bad, and they were tucked in. I'm sure someone doing a tuck now, it's like either a comically huge shirt, like a poofy, you silky, whatever. Yeah.
It's a French tuck. A lot of French tucks now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, which can work for certain styles. But like yeah. T-shirts? Is anyone allowed to tuck in T-shirts?
If you're wearing a blazer, maybe.
Hmm.
What do you think?
I just want to go on record saying I don't like it. All right. We're agreed. I'm going to keep riding this train. All right, I'm done.
The obvious foreshadowing of Ross and Rachel cleaning Central Perk with the sex guitar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, and that's what you were saying before. It hit my mind a little bit later. But yeah, like the musical cue of the what an overly sexual guitar line that they had there. We didn't.
Yeah.
Look, we get it.
This is like.
It's dark.
Like.
It's dim.
Yeah.
Do we really need the, like. Beep, beep, beep. Like, ooh, they're looking at each other. Beep, beep, beep. You know?
It's, yeah. You know?
It's on the nose.
Yeah. The cues. Yeah. But they're also. They're super dated, too.
Sure. Yeah. So most everything sounds like a porn cue.
Yeah.
You know? How do you think those requests went? Wade and I work in music publishing, yeah, so we'll
get requests for cue music, intro, yeah. theme song, that kind of stuff. Like, you know, something that says we're investigating a murder. Like,
yeah, or they're gonna fuck, and so it's like, you know, so there's a little on the nose background information there.
Yeah.
Problematic. What's the curry taste?
Curry.
Well, it's probably curry powder, you dumb fuck. What do you think's going on there? But I think that there might be maybe some sort of allusion to, like,
their parents don't like ethnic food.
It ain't parsley, salt, or pepper. You know, this ain't no Italian seasoning.
Yeah, but you also get the sense she's a chef, so she's naturally going to explore different
stuff.
Flavors. And yeah. the parents seem really white bread sexist, kind of. Mm-hmm. No matter what she does, they won't be proud of her.
Mm-hmm.
And Ross is always going to get the kind of easy treatment from them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's the working at a museum. If only my history major could get me somewhere like that.
Yeah, and afford an apartment like that.
Yeah, must be nice.
Yeah. Okay, so I was talking about Ross's clothes looking like they came out of a prop closet. Were you getting theater vibes from the dinner scene as well?
Explain.
It's strange in a sitcom like this when you see people eating because everything just feels like a prop.
Okay.
Like, even if you want to go, like, decoration in their apartment, it's like a bit of a hodgepodge. There wasn't, like, any unifying specific theme, like, oh, like, characters, you know, humans with, you know.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a studio set this up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with the spaghetti, I'm like, most of this looks dry, like there isn't even sauce on it.
I'm glad you brought this up.
And I sort of pitied the actors having to pretend to eat it.
I thought I wrote it down, but maybe I didn't. That fucking spaghetti looked awful. That didn't even look fucking edible. Are you kidding me? A little bit of sauce on the top, at least a fine dining restaurant. If you have a little bit of sauce on top with the noodles underside, you don't have that many fucking noodles.
Yeah.
And a fucking chef would know that.
And I'm not expecting this show to strive for that level of detail in the realism that a chef... I have friends that are chefs, and when they fucking cook, when I come to their houses, like, you know they're chefs. Like, there's presentation. This felt like a bunch of prop plates and glasses and somebody who wasn't getting paid enough to just be like, oh, they'll have spaghetti here. 100%. I made spaghetti. They can eat this in the scene that we're filming on a studio. You know, there's like... Clearly, these are details and depths of realism that a sitcom does not concern itself with.
I avoid angel hair pasta.
I'm not a fan either.
Yeah, no. Too much noodles. Give me a little fucking fettuccine.
Mm. If I'm being totally honest, hot take here, I don't like noodles.
That is a hot take. I know you don't like noodles.
It's fucking weird. I will eat them, but it's never my go-to.
What about a ravioli? Tortellini.
Like a stuffed?
Cheese? Would you prefer a meat?
If you give me... Stuff? I like the... what do you call the pastas that look like little squibs? They're like pockets. Or like... they just look like little balls, and they're usually stuffed with cheese or spinach or some shit.
Cannelloni? I don't know. Stuffed with spinach. Yes, those. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take a stuffed pasta. Yeah. But if you're just going to give me noodles covered in meat sauce, I'd rather have a bowl of the meat sauce.
Yeah, actually, like a chili...
Yeah, you know, yeah, I think that's it. Spaghetti's just fucked up chili.
You got these useless fucking carbs in the middle. You might as well give me just the goods.
Yeah, carbs on the one hand, but just filler.
Yeah.
It's like noodles don't taste like anything.
It is just
filler. I'm in it for the sauce.
Honestly, a proper egg noodle. We've been to restaurants where they make the noodles themselves.
Oh yeah.
How do you feel about that? I feel like that's a cut above.
Absolutely. There's more flavor. It's not filler. It's its own thing.
Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah, no, if anybody like makes their pasta in-house,
that thrills
me way more than what I saw in this episode.
So you would say that a home-cooked noodle is much more like a Susan than it is a Ross. More tasty, less bland and boring.
Exactly, yeah.
Neurotic.
Ross is a noodle. He's a wet noodle. He's a Milhouse.
Yeah. He is a Milhouse.
That really is.
That's where I was hoping this was going to go with that analogy.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, whatever. It's a studio sitcom. I'm going to make these kinds of production observations that no one needs to care about. But
Fair.
I'm looking for it.
If this came out in 2000s, it would be live, laugh, love fucking everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they get like bullshit pseudo-French nonsense on the wall, like above their TV.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, so you got that at the Pier 1.
Yeah, just like do yourself a favor and just look at some of the set dressing in their apartment, like what they have on the shelves.
Yeah,
it's all over the place. Mm-hmm. And it works. Like, that's not what you're there for. You're there Correct. For the friends and the journey. But it's just weird. I feel like nowadays this kind of show would be a little more,
there's a lot more scrutiny nowadays,
and it would just feel real. You'd be like, oh yeah, this is a place I could live in.
Modern Family,
sure, The Office. Yes, these exactly are real, yeah, real homes. Yeah. But in the 90s, I'm really curious if anybody's place looked anything like that, or if this was just chairs and tables from
whatever
the studio had on hand for sets.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. Barry did look like Mr. Potato Head.
He seemed all right to me at first.
My mind was, if he didn't have the hair, he would definitely look like a potato.
So are we to believe that, so a week has passed since she left the altar and he has since gotten hair plugs?
Yeah, I don't know. I would ask Joe Biden on the time frame between getting your hair back.
Did Joe get plugs?
Joe definitely has plugs.
Okay.
I guarantee it.
Did you hear he's running? Or that he slipped up and maybe said he was running?
He's definitely running.
And then corrected himself.
Yeah. He's definitely running.
Third time's a charm.
This obviously isn't the forum for politics.
But, oh, sure. This...
I hope that Bernie beats out Joe Biden, and I hope that Beto has enough integrity as a young man to stay true to ideals that Bernie would have. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm going Bernie.
Yeah. Well, everyone's going hard left. My honestly, at this point, my bar is so low. I would just settle for whoever's not whoever's not taking corporate money.
Yeah,
hey, and I know Bernie doesn't, and I'm sure there's a handful of others.
Beto doesn't.
Okay, yeah.
I get the text. Beto's only doing single donations from private people. Nice. No PACs, no nothing.
Maybe they should team up and get Texas.
Well, if I'm being honest with you, that's my hope, that they consolidate. You get a Bernie Beto.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's pretty unbeatable, especially if you flip Texas.
Yeah. I mean, as someone from there, it's like, I'm sure people from Florida see these articles getting joked about on late night, like Florida man.
Yeah.
Florida man does the craziest shit, like unleashes alligators in convenience stores, or like does meth and climbs inside a mailbox. Like, it's embarrassing. And like, Texas has that shit too. And every time I hear about, like, oh, like, those Texans, they're at it again. Like, okay. So we know you come here for cutting, bleeding-edge political commentary. I don't want
to... So we gave it to you.
We'll just move on from there.
Yeah.
What got us on this, Joe? Joe Biden hair plugs?
Joe Biden plugs Barry having looking like Potato Head.
Okay, I liked him.
No, I liked him, too. He's definitely a Jew.
Like, maybe that's what it was. Yeah. I was like, hey,
he's a sweet Jew.
He seems like the kind of guy that would be jilted by someone who thought they were boring or not exciting.
Yeah.
But as an adult, I'm like, well, shit, he doesn't look that bad. He's a fucking dentist. He's got his life together. He was really cordial to you.
Exactly.
The chick who did what you did to him the day you showed up.
I'm a very boring person. And so I'm like, hey, you know, I mean, this ain't that bad.
Yeah.
You know. So, I also think that the Gellers, I bet their original last name was Gellerman.
Jewish so last
they're
name?
They're probably Jews, yeah.
Okay.
I think that's the implication here.
Because they're so hard on their kids, or, like, what's the clue? I'm not...
Oh, you know, I don't know. My grandmother's last name was Reedman. It got changed to Reedman, and then changed to Reed. You know, so that the etymology of a last name and just Geller, I feel like it lends itself to Gellerman. And maybe I'm basing this all off of Elliot Gould's interpretation of Ross and Monica's father, who was definitely a fucking Jew.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
It's there if you want to see it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, forgive me, it's your resident Bernie lover, Jew lover, Jew. Who finds the connection in it all.
Yeah. Well, again, it's a really white show, so let's try to look for representation.
Sure.
Let's fucking wrench it out of here. But Rachel's bridesmaid, not a good friend.
Shitty fucking friend.
Really?
Yes. All of my friends, there's an understanding.
Yeah.
There's just an understanding.
And if there's not, it's like fair game to be like, hey, you wronged me. Like,
well, that...
I thought we understood.
And you wouldn't have been my best... my maid of honor.
Yeah.
You fucking monster.
Really?
You know?
So does this speak to Rachel, like, being of a class of people with just...
That are completely fake.
Yeah, just vapid.
Yeah, vapid.
Yeah.
Yes. 100%. So I think the whole story here is Rachel getting a... fucking personality that's beyond being a vapid, privileged white person.
Yeah, sure, we gotta put her up on the ropes.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so she left this guy, oh, the poor guy, but he was taking her maid of honor on a vacation, and...
Sure.
He's clearly good with it, which I was a little conflicted as how I was supposed to feel. Like, I know we're on Rachel's side, but naturally I'm anti-princess, and...
Oh, yeah.
I find it hard to sympathize with someone that comes from that kind of privilege, so... I was like, well, serves her right.
Me too.
Yeah. She left him because he looked like Mr. Potato Head, and obviously her friend was a shitty friend.
Yeah.
So good on him for getting his groove back. Like, I'm assuming Rachel's not going to be in his life anymore. So.
That, and I think that, you know, love and marriage should be more than just looks.
Yeah.
Personality. Mm. Love. Not just some fucking bank account and some looks, you know?
Yeah. Hey, don't tell my wife about it.
Hey, this guy,
I still got the looks.
He does have... Oh!
I'm shadowboxing over here!
You know, so I think my favorite line is, you don't get a lot of Dory these days. And you know what? You don't get a lot of doi these days.
Doi.
Doi is a good word. And yeah. If I was a radio show host with the board, I'd have a doi on my board. I would.
It's really fun to hear a 90s show reference another dated 90s or late 80s ism. Like, what else, what are some others you can think of? Like, expressions, just lame.
Gnarly, comedy. Rad.
Sure. How about, like, talk to the hand?
Talk to the hand. Nice.
As if. I guess that one still gets used a little. As if.
You're being such a Ross.
Yeah, I feel like this show muddied the waters and created so many of their own.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? They're, like, making fun of doi, but then...
they're a caricature of themselves.
Introducing the... exactly. Yeah, again, like a 90s thing. Yeah. There's an awareness of what a sitcom is and what's comedy in the 90s, and they're kind of acknowledging that, but doing the same thing in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
Which is admirable.
Yeah. I currently have zero qualms. Outside of the Lycra representation, but we kind of knew what we were all signing up for here.
Yeah. So in the interest of making these discussions a little edgier, do you think this is anti-choice propaganda?
You mean that with Ross's them ex having the baby?
Decided to keep the child and raise it together?
Jesus Christ.
Do you think it's just circumstance?
This
is a new girlfriend, right? She was married to Ross, met this other woman, broke up with Ross. She was pregnant with this. So there's very short overlap here.
I don't think it's pro-choice. I do, however, think that it's a woman who needs to derive some meaning in her life.
So this is just a person who wanted to be a mother.
Yeah.
And the circumstances
kind
of fell on her. And
you add the extra layers of her sexual preference and what appears to be the random immediacy of her sexual preferences. Not saying that whenever you find that out about yourself is right or not, but it seems a little convenient, and it speaks beyond that. It speaks to the fact that there's that immediacy of sexual preference, plus keeping the child kind of sells the idea that she's someone who needs to find some way in life that she can fit into the cookie cutter. She needs to figure out who she is, and she will take this circumstance of having the baby as, well, I'm a mother now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be an interesting way to kind of transition into, you know, realizing that you're a lesbian, but also you're becoming a mother. So there's like a lot of, is the right word I'm looking for here?
I mean, there's a lot of meaning behind it all. And I'm not trying to discredit anything. I just think that there's an earnestness for figuring out who she is. Mm-hmm. And this may be the best option. I don't think it's a pro-choice.
Yeah.
Or pro...
well, I was saying anti-choice.
Anti-choice.
That, you know, I mean, you know, I wish sitcoms would discuss abortion more.
Yeah. Me too.
Why don't they do that? No, I get it. It's 2019. The show's over 20 years old, so that was never... And obviously,
I think
this
it's
is
just a plot device.
It's Ep 2. Yeah, yeah, this is what has been written in, is that he will be the absentee father of, you know, his ex-wife and her partner's child that they are raising.
And you know what? He's probably going to be a great father, judging on Ross here. He's going to want to be involved to a fault.
I want to believe that, but I also know another...
time will tell.
Another well-trod criticism of this show, and a lot of shows and movies in general, is that babies don't exist until they're convenient.
Oh, are they going to cut this shit out?
Until they're convenient for the plot. No, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, we're going to watch a show that lasts 10 seasons where Ross is a dad and has a child.
And
he's going to see that fucking kid twice in over 200 episodes. That kid's just not going to exist. He's going to, like, be having bronanigans.
Bronanigans.
And having, like, you know, what, Seinfeld-level trivial dating life problems with fucking Joey and Chandler. All the while, it's like, oh, you're a dad? You have a fucking child, but...
he doesn't need to be home at a certain time.
I mean, it works in his favor that other people are raising the child.
Interesting.
I want to keep going on this one.
Okay, keep going.
Okay, I'm of the age, you're of the age, where a lot of our friends are getting married, having kids.
Everyone's getting married and having kids.
And we're all familiar with the post-announcement, we're pregnant, we got a bun in the oven, and you share the image, picture, video of your sonogram.
Yeah.
I'm a private person.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's weird that there's a fucking generation of babies and kids that are going to be grown up having all of their shit aired to the internet and the world without even getting to choose. This isn't foreskin. This is your face, your likeness, your birthdays, yeah. Like public domain, you know?
I fully agree. I have dated a couple girls who've had kids, and the level of sharing is concerning. Because I put myself in the shoes of someone who would grow up with people knowing what I looked like. To that end, I would consider, when I do have an adorable child of whatever sex, mm-hmm. I'm going to create an Instagram for just the family that's private. Family and close friends, people who would be interested.
Mm.
Maybe a group chat, I don't know.
Yeah, or like a Google shared album kind of thing.
Sure, yeah, something where people can access what's going on.
Mm.
You know, because I can't mail photos to people. And I see that. I see the desire to send photos, but I don't see the desire of sharing for my own benefit of likes and comments. I don't like mm-hmm. that. The kid has no choice, but you know what? The kid has no choice to know that its grandmother is going to see what it looks like. Fuck mm-hmm. you. You're a baby. This is your grandmother. Too bad.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to put it on the public world to see with people from who God knows where to see. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I will keep it limited. So I think there's a dual-edged sword there of mm-hmm. who you share photos of your child to. Without their consent, and it should just be close family and friends.
Yeah, and this is not to shame people who do share. Like, yes. You got a baby and you want to share it with the world. It's a fucking miracle. Fine. You're making a person. It's cool, but
just not what I would do.
Yeah, and in this, obviously, that's the very normalized thing to do is like share it. Now, granted, they were watching it on a VHS tape on some old fucking tube TV, and that OBGYN. Got that paste on and got the heartbeat
instantly
on audio, like yeah seconds before Ross could leave the room.
Like it was fucking Tayshia hugging Colton. Did you notice that, by the way?
What, did she just quickly?
No. When they were hugging, you could hear the heartbeat.
What, through the microphone?
Yeah, because the microphone was so caught up so tight, it was omnipresent. It felt like it was a combination of both post and actual diegetic sound, like when it happened.
Like they tried to amp it up because it was there anyway.
Well, there was no sound because they weren't talking, so they just like ASMR the drive on that shit so that you would hear the beating of the heart. And I was like, these shady motherfuckers. Yeah.
Those manipulative bachelor producers.
Yep. Yep.
Do you know that show's not 100% real?
What?
Yeah. Producers like tell them what to do.
No way. And
these people totally know they're on TV.
You know what? It's
really not candid.
We should do a podcast of that.
You know, now that you mention it. Now, of course, we're going to do a podcast.
Yeah, we're definitely doing The Bachelorette when it happens.
Ever since you tricked me into watching Ari's season, which wasn't even that good. And I don't even watch reality TV.
That's a testament to fucking The Bachelor. Is Ari's season wasn't even that good. That you were like, I'm in.
Yeah. The show is just such garbage. And I think if you can see it for what it is, there's a lot to enjoy. And hey, it made me feel really good about my life and where I'm at.
Hey, fuck yeah, dude. And that's what it's all about, bro. So we've gone off the rails, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
But you know what? This is a friends podcast. And I'm having a good time. I'm Zach.
I'm Wade.
And this has been
Who Needs Friends?
And we'll see you
episode 3.
Yeah.